All right, well, last week we began a series called The Marriage Project. And we're not doing this series alone. There are churches all over Fort Worth, Arlington, Azle, different locations around this area that are joining together over the next month to talk about the problems that are confronting relationships and confronting marriage. And a lot of the things that we have talked about or are going to talk about apply not just to marriage relationships, but to any relationship that you may have. There are principles that you're going to pick up in the midst of these teachings that are going to help you in relationships with other people, you know, whether they be at work or whether they be friendships or whatever relationship that you may have in your life on an ongoing basis. But last week, we asked the question, does marriage really matter anymore? Does it matter? You know, in our society, marriage is a choice that many people are choosing to skip in a relationship with the opposite sex. They're just deciding to get into a relationship without marriage, don't feel like they need it anymore. And we tried to talk about that last week and answer those questions. And so if that sparks your interest, then you can to listen to that one. But today we're going to move on to another question. What do I do when the feelings change in my marriage? What do I do? What do I do when the feelings change? And we're going to start off this morning by looking at a video.
I don't love you anymore. I don't want to lie.
You know that you're not going to wake up in the morning and feel differently.
We haven't been us. Not for a long time, and I don't know when you and I stop being us.
How do you trust your feelings when they can just disappear like that?
Question, we need to start first of all by looking at our feelings. You know, feelings are not our enemy. They're not our enemy. I know in the body of Christ, we talk a lot about not following our feelings, and there's truth to that. I mean, we do not need to follow our feelings exclusively. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, but feelings aren't our enemy. We have feelings because we're created in the image of God. Do you know that God feels? Have you seen Him have feelings in the Word of God? God gets angry in the Word. God gets sad in the Word. God is joyful in the Word. Feelings are important, and they're important for several different reasons. And I've got just a few of those reasons up here. But first of all, they help us understand what is important to us or what's going on with us. They help us to understand what's going on with us. They're important in that area. Another reason that they're important is they help us understand. They tell us what we believe about things. Your feelings are a direct line into what you're thinking about a certain situation or thing or what you believe about it. And finally, you know, feelings themselves, they just add flavor to life. Wouldn't it be a kind of a boring existence without feelings? Somebody said, I'd like to try it for a little while. My feelings have not been too great of lately. But as you can see, feelings are real important to life. And while they're important to us, they're not intended to direct us, as I said earlier. Feelings are indicators. Everybody say indicators. They're an indicator, but they're not a guidance mechanism. They're not just to follow blindly. They're like lights on a dashboard. They help you to recognize when you're driving your car, they help you to recognize that you've passed a milestone. okay? Or maybe it helps you to understand that something needs attention in your car. Something's going on. And feelings are in some situations, the lack of feelings can mean that we need to stop and take a look at what's happening under our hood. But an expert car mechanic knows that the answer to a problem when dealing with a car is not just to unplug the light, to get rid of the light, to take a hammer and smash the dash and cause the light to go off, or change the way it's indicating, or change its color. That's not just the answer. The answer just doesn't lie in the light itself. The light is an indicator of what's happening where? Something under the hood, somewhere else. Okay? Now, feelings can be fickle. Everybody say feelings can be fickle. They can be fickle. Why? Well, this sentence I didn't write very well, but I'll explain it. Feelings can be fickle in this way. They respond to beliefs or situations, not exclusively to what is true. So what I'm trying to say there is your feelings will respond to something that happens to you. You know, our word happy. Are you happy? Are you happy? Yeah. You know, we ask people that. Well, happy is a word that comes from the word happening. Depends on what's happening, right? And our feelings do respond to situations. And they also respond to what we're thinking about a certain situation, or what we're thinking about ourselves, or what we're thinking about the world, what we think about God. Our feelings can respond to that and will respond to those things. And they will respond to things whether they're true or whether they're not. It just has to be true at that moment in time to us. And if it's true to us at that moment in time, then our feelings will respond to that. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, 26, it says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." We can't just blindly follow our feelings, can we? "But he who walks wisely will be delivered or saved." So in other words, I can have feelings that are based upon my belief in a lie. I can have feelings based upon you coming up here and hitting my toe with a hammer. I can have some feelings about that. But you know, you hitting my toe with a hammer, that may make me have feelings right now, but that doesn't necessarily have any bearing on how my life's going to turn out in the future. But it can sure feel like it sometimes. For instance, if I go through depression, then unless that depression is a direct result of a physical illness that I have or something being out of order in my physical body, then that depression is going to last as long as the viewpoint on life that I have which causes depression lingers. That make sense? Now, another thing we need to know about feelings is this. Changed feelings are a part of life. It's just a part of life. Our feelings change over time, no matter what we're involved with, okay? And simply knowing that helps us not to freak out when feelings begin to wane. You know, how many of you are parents in here? Well, some days you're just not excited about being a parent. I've had kids. Some days you love them, some days you want to kill them. Isn't that true? I know you wouldn't do that. But let's be real. Let's talk about where we live. If the Word of God can't come to where we live, then it's not good for us. And God wants it to come to where we live. You don't always feel good about things. Man, you drive off the lot with a new car, you feel good about it. After a while, the feelings about that car begin to wane. Same thing about a new home. All right? Same thing about a job. Feelings change. Everybody say feelings change. It's a fact of life. They just change. And now somebody's saying, well, Pastor, what do I do when all that stuff begins to happen in my marriage? I got three things I'm going to leave you with today and we're done. The first thing that I would do is I would fearlessly face my real issues. If your feelings begin to change in your marriage, fearlessly face your real issues. You saw something. How many of you are having fun with allergies? Oh, yeah, it's been fun this week, hasn't it? Thank you, love. You guys saw on the video just a minute ago a sad commentary on marriage based on statistics. It said 40% of married couples are not happy. That's nearly half. 40% of married couples are not happy. And you know what's even sadder about that? Most of them won't do anything to change that. They won't. And failure to identify unhappiness and problems in marriage, in and of itself, leads to further problems. Do you know our problems are not going to go away in our marriages just by trying to ignore them or going into magical thinking, well, if I just ignore this, then something magical is going to happen and everything will change over time. That's a fool's paradise. Don't ride on that ship of fools. That won't take you anywhere. My suggestion is when you begin to have these situations going on in life, number one, don't flip out, because feelings do change some over time. But if you're having some real issues and you can think about some things in your marriage that you're not really happy about or some things that are not going well, then fearlessly talk about those. Not beat each other over the head. Don't strangle one another. But just sit down and begin to say, honestly, this is where I'm at. I don't know if my perception about what's going on with us is based in reality or not. Maybe I need some clarification about what's going on with our relationship. But right now, this is where I'm at. And confront those things. Talk about those things honestly. Okay? And unless your spouse is involved in some covenant-breaking behavior. Now, sometimes some spouses are. What's covenant-breaking behavior? They start doing character issues. They start getting involved with somebody else. All right? Those things, you think if your spouse got involved with somebody else, that would cause some feelings in you. How many of you say, yeah, it would. It would me. Okay? I'll just be honest with you. I know you don't want to be around my wife if that stuff like that ever happens. She gets dangerous. She gets dangerous. Okay? But of course you're going to have some feelings. But if you're just going through life and there are some changes that have occurred and they're life changes, there are things that are happening in your relationship, that there's issues that have come and into your relationship that are not necessarily character issues or covenant-breaking issues, then you know what? One thing I would do before I got my spouse in the spotlight, boy, we love doing that, don't we? We love sitting them down. He's not my spouse, but we love to sit somebody down, and we love to put that light on them. It blinds them to us, and we just like to begin to interrogate them. You're doing this, and you're not doing that. Let me just tell you what a blessing you are to me. And we begin to tell them everything they're doing wrong. Let me tell you, this is all about my happiness, and right now I'm not happy, and you're the source of my unhappiness. Don't we kind of do that? We do kind of do that, right? Well, I would say before I get too exercised about trying to fix somebody else's problems, my spouse's, I would let the spotlight come on me first. And I would really begin to get with a same-sex person that I trusted, somebody who I believe would talk to me honestly about God and about the Word of God and honestly about what's going on with me, lovingly wanting to help me. And I would just get before God and I'd get with that person and I'd begin to say, here's where I'm at. I want to first, before I start trying to take this into my marriage, I want to first start trying to take responsibility for what's going on right here. Okay, amen. My wife said amen. One amen. But here's another thing. Let's go back. Why would you ignore the problem? That's insanity. It's insane. Pretending as if problems don't exist, or blaming them upon others without examination, is insanity. It's crazy. So I want to encourage you, if the feelings are changing, don't just sit there and stay mad about it. Because that's normally what our response is. We get depressed, we get angry. The two sisters begin to move in, depression and anger. And they begin to come into our house and we begin to get frustrated. And things just compound and they compound and they compound. And the next thing you know, all you want to do is escape. You're not interested in trying to fix anything. You just want to escape. Before you get to that place, brothers and sisters, let's fearlessly talk about the real issues that are going on. Okay? Okay? All right. Number two, what do I do when feelings change? Well, you can't give your spouse something you don't possess. The Bible tells us to love our spouse, and that word used there is a Greek word, of course, we all know, called agape. And agape is goodwill, benevolence, and I love the last part of this. It's willful delight in the object of love. It doesn't say feeling delight. It doesn't say, you know, all of a sudden I develop these feelings. It's a product of the will. And, you know, we experience so many feelings in marriage, don't we? Sometimes you look at your spouse and you have this great feeling of friendship toward them. Man, they're my best friend. Sometimes you feel these feelings of romance. We all like those feelings, especially the men. Women too. Sometimes we feel family love when we look at our spouse. You know, that's my family. But we're commanded to love our spouses with agape. Now, agape is a product of God. It's not just a product of God. Agape is who God is. The Bible says this in 1 John 4:16. It says, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. I think that's important in your marriage, that you begin to know and then you rely on God's love in your marriage. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. The word love used here is used to describe the very nature of God. It's His presence. And really, when you're looking at this, it's not talking about romantic love. It's not talking about familial love. It's not talking about friendship love. Although those things are good, there's nothing wrong with those things. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the very essence and presence of God in your marriage. Now God loves you in spite of yourself. And He continues to love you in spite of yourself. Doesn't He? So how are you going to love your spouse in spite of who they are? How are you going to do that? Now, I know covenant breaking behavior needs to be addressed. But feelings change, feelings come and go. So when you wake up one morning and you look over at them and their breath smells like dragon breath, their ears stink because they hadn't cleaned them in a long time, their hair standing everywhere, if they have any. They get up, they walk to the kitchen and back to their chair and huff and puff because they're so overweight, they can't walk 20 feet, you know, without getting out of breath. And you begin to look at that, and your feelings begin to change, or they just come and go over time. How many of you experienced that in your relationship? I mean, you know, when you first got married, you know how it was. Some of you, I hope. Are you raising her hand for her? Hey, so we got some fixing behavior going on down here. You know, most of us start off our relationship, you know, I can't live, living is without you. I can't live. All right, don't. You know, a lot of us start off that way. You know, we're so codependent and stuck in these things. You know, I mean, but we do. We get to the place, and we talked about this last week. We find somebody with not just that we love, but somebody that we feel like has been brought to us for a common walk, common destiny. And so we recognize that, and we understand that. And we say, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. We recognize it. But the feelings will come and go over time, and there's going to be some day you're going to wake up, you're not going to feel that stuff you felt at the beginning. Today, or someday. If it hadn't happened yet, it will. What are you going to do? Quit? Give up? Follow your feelings on that day? Or are you going to ask God to inhabit your relationship and to come and to give you what you don't have at that point in time? So, I can't blame me not loving my spouse on Rhonda. I really can't blame that on her. Now, I'm not saying I take responsibility for her behavior. I don't do that. Okay, but I can't blame me not loving her on her. Because there's a direct line between me and Jehovah. Nobody stands in the way of that. There's nobody blocking that. And I can get a download from Jehovah anytime I cry out for it. And say, God, help me. God, empower me. God, strengthen me. And so if I'm having a struggle loving my wife, and I'm not talking about romantically that day or necessarily or any of those type of things, I'm talking about if I'm having a struggle with just wanting to carry on, with wanting to keep going, then you know what? I can call on God and He can download that to me and give that to me. And I have done that many times with this woman. And I guarantee you, she's done it many times with me. Anybody ever experienced that? I mean, there's been days where I've sat there and I've gone about 2-3 weeks without that feeling. Anybody ever been there before? Let's be honest. A month. A year. No. Don't let it go that long. And I'll just say, Lord, I just don't feel anything. And I'll say, Lord, I need to feel again. I need to feel. And God understands we're feeling beings. Sometimes I think He lets the feelings go away for a while just so we can learn another level of commitment. But when it goes for a long time, I just say, God, there's nothing standing between you and I. Download it to me. Help me to see this woman the way you see her. Help me to love her the way you love her. And God does. Okay? And so I've got to be receiving it to be able to give it. If I don't have it, I can't give it. If I don't have it, I can't blame it. Okay? Now we're talking about feelings. We're talking about those type of things. We're not talking about behavior here. Okay, we're talking about feelings. Okay, we're talking about what we feel. Third and finally, what do I do when the feelings change? When love seems to fade, remember your feelings are going to follow your beliefs. And your actions are going to follow what you believe. Okay? Remember, feelings are indicators, right? They lead us to what we believe about life. Sometimes when I'm counseling with somebody, and I'll say, well, what were you thinking at that point in time when that was happening in your life? What was going through your mind? What were you thinking? They'll say, I don't remember. I'll say, well, then what were you feeling? Because if you can tell me what you were feeling, then we can follow that trail into what you were thinking. Okay? They're indicators. Now, if I believe that God is for my marriage, how many of you believe God's for your marriage? How many of you are married? And regardless of what's going on right now, your hand needs to be up. I've had people tell me, well, I never should have married him in the first place. And so I should have, I'm like, you know, where are you right now? Are you married? You better get your butt in gear with the Word of God. Because God can change people. And He does. And God's not going to, He's going to be looking to you to see if your part, relationships are like drawbridges, right? If love's going to flow across from one side to the other, then both sides need to be down. You're not responsible for the other side, but God sure is going to be looking to you to see that you got your side down. Isn't He? I can't stand before the Lord and say, Lord, let me tell you why I didn't do what you told me to do. It was that woman you gave me. Did that work in the first marriage? It didn't work, did it? It's not going to work now. Didn't work then and it won't work now. Okay? So if I believe God's for my marriage, then my feelings are going to follow that. If I ask God and believe He's going to give me love for my spouse, my feelings are going to line up with that. If I decide to do what's biblical because I know it's right, regardless of what anybody else is doing, then my feelings are going to respond to those decisions and those actions. Maybe not immediately, I don't know, but they will eventually. If you follow your feelings blindly, You may follow a lie or a selfish motivation, but if you follow the Bible, then you follow the truth. And the truth is going to lead you where? Freedom. It's going to lead you right into the presence of God and right into freedom and liberty. And you just, when you follow God, no matter what your raggedy-headed spouse is doing, when you follow God, no matter what, you just unleashed the power of the Holy Spirit in your marriage to work. Flesh gives birth to what? If you start doing sowing flesh into your relationship, you'll get flesh back. If you sow obedience in the Spirit into your relationship, then you release salvation and deliverance into your home. So don't be surprised when your feelings are not as strong as they once were or go away even at some point. Don't be surprised. Feelings were created this way by God. Somebody needs to think about that for a second. Your feelings were created to go away or to wane at some point in time, because if they didn't, you would probably end up serving the very thing you have those feelings over. You'd serve them. Just think, if you had that same feeling all the time, that you've had that ooshy-gooshy feeling forever, man, you might end up serving that person. You might end up making them an idol in your life. Happens all the time, exactly. But God made feelings to where they come and go so that we would learn to depend upon Him. Depend upon Him. Before this is all over, we're going to talk about what the secret to a happy marriage is. Him. That's the secret to a happy marriage. Him. But He made it that way so that we don't put somebody else before God. You know? And I've done that. How many of you put somebody else before God in your lifetime at one point in time? Anybody ever done that? It's pretty common then, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So don't flip out if the feelings begin to fade in your relationship, because you'll just know that you're walking in a pattern and into something that God has created. He's created it just that way. So now you've got to depend upon Him. You've got to begin to cry out to Him for love for that person just the way He loves you. You want to love them in just that way. All right? And then you do what God's told you to do, regardless of what that other person does. And if you'll do that, I guarantee you, your feelings will begin to line up. And along with that, we need to throw in the F word, forgive. Were you scared, honey? I would never say that. You? Maybe, but not me, honey. No, she would. She's sweet and holy. She wouldn't do that. You want to stay a crabbed up emotional mess, refuse to forgive. Yeah. Well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Well, did you deserve it when you got it? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't take something you're not willing to give somebody else. That's hypocrisy. All right? I've had a couple of people in my life I had a hard time forgiving, Pastor Bob. You weren't one of them. To the place where I had to go to God and I had to say, God, you're going to have to show me this person through your eyes, because all I can see them through now is my eyes. It's all I can see them through. And I know I need to forgive. As a matter of fact, I want to forgive. And through a process of time, God answered that prayer. And when He answered that prayer, all of a sudden, my negative feelings toward them broke. And I didn't wish evil upon them anymore. I saw that what they were doing to me was a product, not so much of our relationship, but a product of their relationship or lack thereof with the Lord. Somebody's treating you bad. It's not, the bottom line is, I mean, there may be things need to be fixed between you two guys, talked about. But if somebody's treating you bad, the foundation of that behavior can be found in an individual's problems in their relationship with God. So why should I take it personally? Doesn't mean the problems don't need to be fixed. Right? Don't even mean we don't need to talk about problems. Boy, do we got something to talk about? No. That's one thing I don't have to worry about us. We'll usually talk. My wife is straight as a board when it comes to telling me what I'm not doing. That's not usually what the problem is. And none of us like to have ourselves put under the spotlight, but I've learned over time, and I am learning, that when somebody says something to me, I need to go straight to the Lord with that. And I need to say, Lord, if that's happening, please show me, because I want that fixed. You know? I want that fixed in my life. And if we'll start allowing God to hold us accountable and then have some precious people in our lives that God's placed there to hold us accountable, then you know what? We can grow through these things. Rather than them being deal breakers and stop our relationships with one another, we can grow. We can have our character wells dug deeper than what they are. Amen? Yes, we can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be together today. We just pray that your kingdom would be established in us. Lord, I thank you for feelings. I really do. I'm thankful for them. But I also realize that they can be a fickle guide. In other words, they will lead me to what I'm thinking, but what I'm thinking may not necessarily be the truth. What I believe about something may not necessarily be God's truth in a situation. So, while I'm grateful for them, and I don't want to stop them in my life, and I don't want to be a dashboard smasher to try to suppress them or get rid of them when they're happening, I need to investigate them. I need to see what they're telling me about life, what they're telling me about what I believe about what's going on. And then, Lord, my beliefs need to be adjusted to line up with the Word of God. And so, Father, I thank you for helping me to grow in you. I thank you for helping me to grow in you. And Lord, when feelings begin to change, I'll fearlessly confront those things. I won't be a magical thinker and hope and think if I think about it long enough, maybe it'll just go away. Lord, then I'm going to go to you and get what I don't have so I can give it away. And Father, I'm going to follow your word regardless of what my spouse does. And I know that my feelings will line up. If I believe God's there, then my feelings will line up with that. And I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said...